Elias felt restive, and not only because of the dull agony in his arm. Outside the tent, the sacrificial pit was quiet, though the air still trembled with the urgent fury of the Neverborn. He could sense their anger. It mirrored his own. To be thwarted so close to his goal, and for what? Some human he had let slip through his grasp.
The over-eager hand snatches air, where the considered one holds on to substance.
He had heard Erebus use these words before. They echoed mockingly back at him through the years. Ranos was dead. His word-bearers had effectively denuded the city of all life, and now only these loyalist dregs and their prisoner remained. But still he was denied the prize he so coveted. Weapons, Erebus had told him. Half dead, his face a bloody ruin, he had uttered this truth. Elias was certain the spearhead was one such weapon of which his master had spoken. It was raw power incarnated in a fulgurite. Any doubts he may have had about that died along with his arm and the 7 acolytes that had burned to ash earlier. Warily he reached out to touch the spear. It was surprisingly cool and certainly inert. Whatever past reaction it may have undergone, now dormant but not yet spent. It hummed with a faint vibration, and the blade still threw off a lambent light that suggested its godlike provenance.
Monarchia. Yes, Elias remembered it well, too. He had wept that day. First, tears of zealous joy as the cathedra had risen to the sky. Then, righteous anger when the 13th had shamed his legion and his primarch. He scarcely remembered the human dead and felt the emperor's snub more keenly. Erebus had counseled him that day. He had counseled many. His master had seemed oddly sanguine, as if he knew some measure of what was going to happen before it had actually transpired. That was power. To see fates, to bend and shape them to your will and benefit. Why, Erebus had always skulked in the shadows, the power behind the throne, instead of its incumbent king, Elias would never understand.
What does Erebus know that I...
The thought was interrupted by the activation of his warp flask. Even in the eldritch fire of the flask, Erebus looked crooked and broken. He was dressed in dark robes with a deep cowl hiding his face and head. Elias bowed at once.
Master, you are recovered?
Evidently not, said Erebus,
gesturing to his bent-backed form.
But I am healing.
It is glorious to behold, my lord. When I left you in the apothecarian,
Erebus interrupted.
Tell me what is happening on Ranos.
Of course,
said Elias, bowing again so he could unclench his teeth without his anger being seen. He held up the spear.
The weapon, he announced proudly, is in my possession.
Erebus looked at him in silent incredulity. Elias could not hide his confusion and said,
To win the war, your last words to me before I left with my warriors.
Your warriors, Elias?
Yours, my lord, humbly appropriated for the task you gave me.
You have nothing but a spear, Elias. I mean weapons. That with which we shall win this war for Horus and the Pantheon.
There was a slight angry tremor in Erebus's voice when he mentioned the War Master's name, and Elias briefly wondered what had happened between them.
Sharpen our own, blunt theirs,
Erebus told him.
Whoever has the most weapons wins. Don't you understand that yet?
Elias was confused. He had done all that was asked of him, and yet his master was obviously displeased. Erebus had also neglected to mention his injury, as if perhaps he already knew of it.
My lord,
Elias began. Erebus didn't answer at first. He was muttering something, as if speaking to someone Elias could not see. But the image in the flask showed a chamber that was empty, save for Erebus.
Where is John Grammaticus?
He said at last.
Who? The human, you mean?
Where is he, Elias? You need him.
I have men hunting for him as we speak. They are bringing him to me.
No, said Erebus. Do it yourself. Find John Grammaticus and hold him for me. Do not sully him in any way. That is my only warning to you.